the face of it, Measure 289 seeks to protect local food sources by banning the cultivation of genetically modified crops anywhere in the county. The measure also promotes saving heritage seeds and a sort of we the people right to self-governance. Kings Valley resident Mary King is campaign manager for Yes on 289, which she calls the local food system ordinance of Benton County. She says the measure was written to protect county residents from multinational corporations which seek to profit off the fertile Willamette Valley.
This measure is a community rights initiative, and what it says is that we, the residents of Benton County, get to govern our own agriculture system, not the state and not the federal government, but those of us living here in the valley.
Last year, Josephine and Jackson counties voted in similar measures. Enforcement of the GMO ban in Jackson has been stymied due to lawsuits brought by two alfalfa farmers claiming damages. Stephanie Hampton runs Benton Food Freedom. She says authors of 289 hope to mitigate challenges from farmers, big ag corporations, and the state by including language like the rights of natural communities.
Our opposition has said that this is giving human rights to individual trees, which it is not. It's a new way of thinking about our environment, not as property to be plundered for profit, but as the basis of a healthy ecosystem and environment.
The Yes on 289 Coalition says the GMO ban would pertain only to the local food system. Their hand-painted signs read, "If it's not food, it's not affected." But many can't square that position with the measure's language. Oregon State University is a research institution in Corvallis. They conduct numerous studies and trials using genetically engineered organisms. Under state law, the university is banned from taking any position on ballot measures, but they have evaluated the impact of Measure 289. Steve Clark is OSU Vice President of Communications.
The measure as written would prohibit this university from conducting research that it has conducted for dozens of years utilizing genetically engineered organisms.
Clark says that research includes work on human and agricultural diseases and environmental cleanup methods. The school says the measure could impact 120 or more faculty and research valued at over $18 million. Dr. Mark Lead and his team in the OSU Pharmacology Department are working on a non-surgical treatment for craniosynostosis, a serious skull deformity. He's been working with the same colony of genetically modified mice for 12 years.
Certainly, there's been concern throughout the development of these techniques about genetic engineering. And, you know, and I think that scientists in general have taken a fairly responsible approach to looking at the good and bad in that. But I've never heard of a voter-initiated program that would eliminate research programs that have a positive effect, I think, on human health.
Last year, Rebecca Tweed worked to defeat the state initiative for GMO labeling. Now she manages the coalition against Measure 289. Tweed agrees the measure is complex, but she says the reason to vote no is simple.
This is a poorly written ballot measure.
Tweed points to Section 3B, saying the biggest impact of the measure is the banning of any use of GMOs. She adds, if the measure passes, farmers would be required to remove GMO crops within 90 days.
So you have families like the Crockers, they're the fourth generation of their farm right now. Their entire livelihood, their employees, their family, everything relies on their ability to farm.
Debbie Crocker farms 2,000 acres in Monroe, including Roundup Ready GMO sugar beets for seed. She opposes 289, saying the measure was written for a few, but affects many. Both sides on the GMO issue have a long row to hoe. If Measure 289 fails, proponents say they will regroup and try again. If it passes, it will very likely be challenged in court. For KLCC News, I'm Tiffany Eckert, reporting from Corvallis.